All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Having commended the church for their remembrance of the apostle's admonitions given to him by the Lord for the ministry, for the glory of Christ, Paul set forth the divine order of submission and the evidence of the submission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, whose head is God, as he is the mediator. Here's the evidence of it. He finished the work. Now Paul is going to set forth now, starting in verse 4, and still dealing with this issue of submission, all to the glory of Christ, every aspect of submission that is set forth, sets forth the glory of him, Christ, who submitted himself. The man being in submission to Christ, the woman being submission to the man. That is the setting forth of Christ's glory as God's servant. What that means is it glorifies him when we find ourselves submitting ourselves as he has set forth. Now, let's pick up in verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4. And speaking of the evidence, the outward evidence of every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Now here Paul establishes for a man to stand up and to pray and to preach publicly, and having his head covered for religious reasons. Now, even just humanly speaking, I mean, a man to stand up, it's customary whenever a man comes in into a building, especially to stand up and preach, how disrespectful it would be for custom's sake. If a man were to sit up here and had his hat on, baseball cap on, something like that, you'd say, you know what, that bothers me. That's just not the way we do it. But let me ask you this. What has custom got? We don't do it and don't want it done. Man came in here with his hat on, wouldn't take his hat off. I'd say, look, take your hat off. It's respectful. But there's a reason. And it's a spiritual reason. It's a biblical reason why a man does not pray or preach with his hat on. It's given in verse 7 of this chapter. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. We know that. We know that the man has been set forth, a man and a woman. Between a marriage, what is that position that a man holds positionally before God? He's a picture of Christ. That's what Paul just said. Man doesn't have his head covered because he's an image of the glory of God. So a man wouldn't do it. But is it just because it's customary? No. The scripture says it's because he is the image and glory of God. What does that mean? Where can we find out what that's talking about? Well, to understand the dishonor that would be given if a man were to stand up and had I know the Jews back in the Old Testament, here's where it started. The Jews in the Old Testament, there was a turban on that priest. It was a linen. I'm going to read this. It's in Exodus 28. I'll read it for you. You don't have to turn there. It's Exodus 28, 39. It says, "Thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen and shall make the mitre." It was a turban of fine linen. It was emblematic of something. What was it? What was the emblem of that? Well, it was an emblem of the service and the servitude and the submission of that high priest, a picture of Christ, who was the servant of Jehovah. It was a picture. So he was this the priest back in the Old Testament. He had a hat on. I mean, they do it even today. You know, they got that, you know, that fellow over there in Rome, you know, has got that big old pointed hat or something like that. He's got that big hat on. You got the Jews. You ever seen it? It's a little old round thing. It's about like that. And they put it right here on the back of their head, you know, and covers that bald spot. Stuff like that, and just put that little thing on there. Why do they do that? Why do they do that? Well, here's where it is. It started back in the Old Testament. And the Scripture says in Exodus 29:6, "And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre." There was a gold plate. Holiness to the Lord. And that mitre, that turban, was worn by the high priest, who was a picture of Christ. Now, how do I know that it was a picture of servitude, of submission? How do I know that? Because Christ was declared to be my servant. My servant. His own description of himself, God's description of him. My servant, he shall finish the work. He was the servant of Jehovah. And that covering right there was placed upon his head. It was a divine ornament set upon the servant in the temple, that high priest. Isaiah 52, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." So I know this. There was a reason. It was a sign. It was a symbol. God said, "You take that servant and the high priest in the Old Testament, and you put a hat on him, because he's in there serving me. A picture of my beloved Son." And he spoke from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." And that servant that I mentioned just a few minutes ago, and he obeyed the Father in all points, every step, every thought, and finally went to the cross itself. And there he cried from the cross, John 19:30, "It is finished. It is finished." Okay, now what was finished? What was finished? Well, the entirety of the Levitical law. It was honored. It was all of the types, all of the pictures, all of the ceremonies were finished. And there were no more types, there were no more pictures, there was no more shadows. Christ had come and had finished the work, and it was opened up. And when he died and cried, "It is finished," the veil, that veil that covered over that Holy of Holies, that the high priest one year could come into, one day a year, not without blood. It was nobody looked at that high priest only. Go in there, and it was opened up. It was rent top to bottom. It was open. No more shadows. No more pictures. No more types. It was over. And that turban, that was a picture and a type of the one who had been sent to finish the work given him by God, the servant of Jehovah. He finished the work. And all of the pictures, all of the types were removed. They don't have it. There is God Almighty. They don't have any more types and pictures. There's not a man clothed in a priestly garment with stones on his head and shoulders and turban and sash and holiness. Christ has fulfilled the law. He's the end of the law. He's the end of it. So a man now, to revert back, to those pictures and types, shadows, and to go back and start wearing that covering that was nothing more than a picture and a type of Jehovah's servant would actually be disrespecting, dishonoring his head, because Christ now has fulfilled the law, and now we don't go back to those pictures. I'm wearing a suit here. It's just an appropriate clothing, but I'm not wearing anything any different than any other man's got a suit on. It's a suit. It's just a set of clothing. I don't have a collar that's backwards that differentiates me from you. I don't have a hat. I don't have a special turban. I don't have it. Why? Because Christ is the end of the law. So therefore, every man praying, prophesying, having his head covered, as they set forth in the Old Testament, as a picture of Christ who would come to be the servant to fulfill the law. He wears not now that servitude. He finished the law. So a man now, he doesn't cover his head because he's an image. That's what verse said. The man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and he's the glory of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the husband of bride, finished the work. So why does a man not have a hat on? Why does he not have a turban on? Because that picture and type has been put away. The servant has come, and now he's the exalted king. He's the master. He's the Lord of glory. Verses 5 to 9. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. That is, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now what is he saying? Just as the man is a picture, an image of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he does not wear a hat, religiously speaking, he doesn't wear a hat to set forth that he is the servant, because Christ the servant has already fulfilled the law, and the pictures are over. So he does it just as a man should not wear a covering because of the dishonor to the Lord. It dishonors his finished works, what it does. It's what he's saying. He's saying, well, we're going to go back to the law, and you're saying that Christ never finished it. Christ has finished it. It's over. Just as a man does not wear a covering for a woman, it's said to be dishonoring to her head. It's dishonoring. It's dishonoring to the man who is a picture of Christ. It's dishonoring to her. But it's dishonoring if she doesn't have a covering. If a woman does not have a covering, it's the same as if she'd just be shaven. A symbol of unfaithfulness and suspected unfaithfulness. I'll just tell you this. Numbers 5 verses 11 to 18. I'm not going to go into it for the sake of time. Numbers 5, 11 to 18. But there was the law that was given. And if a man suspected, didn't have any proof, but just suspected that his wife was unfaithful, he'd take her to the priest. And there was a drink that the priest would make her drink it. And if she was guilty, the Lord divinely would, she'd swell up and her thighs would rot and stuff like this. And that just being suspected of doing it. And shave her head for suspecting that she had been. But now with the bride of Christ, there's no spot. There's no blemish in her. There's no suspecting of her. But that the point that I wanted to make is that part of being shaven. If he suspected that she was unfaithful, they would shave her head as a token of even giving her husband reason to think that she might be unfaithful. So for a woman to not have a covering, it'd be as if she were shaven. For a woman to not have a covering, it would be a symbol of suspected unfaithfulness. Suspected of being disrespectful to her husband. So here's the reason that a woman should be covered. She's a picture of the church. The reason that a woman should be covered, just as that man back in the Old Testament, that high priest, he was a servant. He was in submission. He was a submission to God. He was a picture. The woman in type in this world is in submission. So for her to not have that hat on, that picture of a servant and submission and under authority, for her not to have would be disrespectful. It's a picture of her servitude and being in agreement with God's divine order concerning the honor of Christ. It's a picture of she bows to that. She believes in my husband is my head. And so here she knows. She knows that she was taken out of the man. A regenerated woman knows that she's the weaker of the vessels and she's needy. Still being a picture of Christ providing for his bride, she recognizes her position. And she knows that man was not created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. Every woman knows that. What does that mean? That the man was not created for the woman, the woman created for the man. What does that mean? Christ was not created for the bride. The bride was created for him. That's what he's saying. So the bride was created for Christ. Father gave him a bride. And so to be covered is a symbol, would be a respectful symbol of her submission. A man, he doesn't wear it because of the dishonor that it gives Christ who finished the work. The woman is to have a covering because of that symbol of being in submission. So that covering, that hiding, it's a picture of being needy, being weak, being in submission, being respectful. First time that it's ever mentioned about that hiding is in Genesis. I'll read this again, 24:65. Abraham's servant had gone and gotten Isaac a wife. Her name was Rebekah. And the servant's bringing her back. And they're coming up and then they see this fella out there in the field. And Rebekah asked Abraham's servant, "Who is that?" And here's what happened. "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "This is my master." "That's Isaac. That's the one I'm bringing you for. That's the one that you're to be his wife. That's your husband right there." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. Why? It was a token or show of modesty, of reverence and subjection. So why should she have a covering on? It's a picture. It's a type. It's a show, the subjection to her husband. But yes, the greater picture is the bride's subjection to Christ. That's why she should have it on. The seraphims, whenever they stood above the Lord who was sitting on a throne, Isaiah, they were high and lifted up, these seraphims. And Isaiah saw them. And they had six wings, each of them. Two of them, they covered their face. Two of them, they covered their feet. Two of them, they did fly. Why? Modest. Modest. In subjection to the Almighty God. There was a reason. Whenever God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, what did Moses do? The scripture says Moses hid his face out of fear and respect as God Almighty spoke to him in Exodus chapter 3. So the scripture sets forth It says, every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that she is even all as one as if she were shaven. If she doesn't have a covering, it's like she's unfaithful. Unfaithful. Disrespectful. She's to be modest, and she's to be in subjection to, and have her head, her face covered, and you know, don't look, I'm not worthy. That's what's being pictured. She should be shown, and the reason being, verse 7, because she's the woman is the glory of the man. The woman, the bride, is the glory of the man, Christ Jesus. The man's not of the woman's of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman for the man. But then look at verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power or covering on her head because of the angels. Now there's many thoughts upon this passage and as to its true and glorious meaning. I'm going to tell you what, in keeping with the context, and if you want to know what a scripture means, it's what is being talked about. If you want to know what, but don't take it out of the context and try to get the meaning out of something that's not even talked about. What is being talked about is talking about submission. It's talking about reverence, and it's talking about respect. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. The marginal reading is a covering and sign that she's under the power of her husband, not usurping the authority over. If a woman be uncovered, it'd be like she's saying, I don't like the position God put me in. I'd be like the bride saying, I don't like the position that Christ put me in as being the, I want to be the head. No, dishonors. So this part is the woman, scripture says, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. Okay, but what is this part about the angels? Because of the angels. Now I'm going to stay with the context of what's being talked about. It's talking about the submission because of the angels. Meaning, in which I will say that I do thank the Lord and bow to this the truth that there are the ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. I don't doubt for one second that Almighty God, who has sent heavenly beings, angels, to watch over God's people and to guard them and protect them. I have no idea what we've been kept from, but the scripture says that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them. But in keeping with the context, a woman should have her head covered. A woman ought to have power on her head because of the angels, the ministers. That's what angels means. It means messengers. Because of the message, because of what she's heard through the messengers, the preachers, she's heard something. God has taught her something, and she's in respect to it. She ought to have a cover on her head because of the message that's been brought to her from God through God's preachers. So then verses 11 and 12. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things are of God. Now with this discourse that has been given to the woman about the care that should be taken concerning her subjection to the man, the Spirit of God moved upon the apostle to remind both men and women of what he's been talking about, a man that should not have a covering on his head. Why? Because of the disrespect it gives to the finished work of Christ. He finished it. We don't have those symbols anymore setting forth him. That turban set forth Christ. Every part of that outfit that priest wore set forth Christ. So a man shouldn't, and a woman should have a covering on her head. But Paul says, but I want to tell you both something. while we're men and women, while we live. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so the man also is by the woman. All things are of God. We were both created for and stand in need of each other, men and women. Unless men should become too high and mighty and overbearing and harsh toward their wives and look upon them, those that have been set forth to be in subjection to, bow. Unless men should be too haughty and lifted up, feeling that somehow they stand in a position of independence, or that a woman should feel because of her position of submission to her husband that she's nothing more than a slave without a voice, or a slave without a spirit, or something. You know, they need to be reminded of something. Now listen, both of us, we need each other. That's what he says in verse 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. We need each other. Now yes, the woman was first taken out of the man. We know that. We know that God said that the woman was taken out of the man. We know that God removed a rib from Adam. We know that. Where did the woman come from? She came out of the man. So the woman set forth in the scriptures right here is the woman, verse 12, is of the man. Where did she come from? She came out of the man. But since then, where does a man come from? He comes out of the woman. That's what he's saying. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. God took the woman first out of a man, but now he takes a man out of the woman. That's where, in natural childbirth. So all these things are divinely set forth and ordered by God himself and leaves us no reason. Fellas, we don't have anything to brag over positionally. We're to watch over our wives and take care of them. And yes, sir. But don't ever forget where we came from. God took Eve out of Adam, but he took everybody else out of the woman from there. So judge for yourself. Verse 3, judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Just judge for yourself. Is it proper for a woman to act outside of her God-given positions? Position? Is it honorable? We need each other. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But don't ever forget, God still has an order. Since the Lord has given a woman a station, a position of being a picture, a type of Christ, one in subjection and submissive to her husband, a type of the Lord Jesus, is it comely? Is it proper for her to not continually set forth the manifestation of that position? Is it right? Well, obviously, it's not right. It's not comely. It's not proper for a woman to pray or prophesy or even hear. It's not right for a woman to hear the word of God being preached without being covered. It's not right. Shouldn't a woman set forth a picture or type or token of her submission? Is that not right? But now we're going to get down to the heart of it. Right here. This is the part you've been wanting to know. Right here. What is the evidence? What is the proper token of submission? Does the physical covering truly exhibit or reveal submission of the heart? Let me ask you something. You can take and put a hat on. Woman. A woman can take and put a hat on. She can put a doily on. Whatever she put on. Let me ask you this. Is that the evidence of submissive heart? Anybody can put a hat on. Anybody Does that mean that there is a submissiveness of her spirit? Should she not truly be covered, but should that covering not truly reveal the evidence of her heart? Reminds me of the little boy they said about, he was standing up in the back of the car. His daddy said, "Sit down." He said, "No." And he said, "I said, sit down." He jerked him down. He was sitting down. He said, now you're sitting down." He said, "Yeah, but I'm still standing up in my heart." Does that mean that just because she puts on, should she have a covering? Let me ask you this. Should a woman have a covering? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if she doesn't, it's a sign or a token of rebellion and resentment before God and disrespect to God's order. Should she have a covering? Yes, it is a shame if she doesn't. But what is it? What is it? Is it that little doily? Is it? Hold your place. Turn with me to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." Now let me ask you this. Do you think that we're still talking about the same thing he's been talking about? Yes, sir. What's he talking about? He's talking about submission of a wife to her husband. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, by the walk, by the manner of living of their wives. While they behold your chaste conversation," your walk that is consistent, that walk that honors the gospel, that gives glory to Christ. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear and respect for God, whose adorning," okay, now let's talk about the adorning right now. "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." What was their sign? What was the sign? What was that token? Did he put a hat on? No. It wasn't the outward adorning. That wasn't the token. No, the token was that meek and quiet spirit, which was in the sight of God. Great price. That was her adorning. Even verse 6, "even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, not afraid with any amazement." What is the adorning? Should a woman have a covering? Yes. If she does not have a covering, is it a problem? Yes. It means that there's shame there. She might as well just be shaven and play the part, because this is her heart. If she will not be in submission to God Almighty's position that He's placed her in as being a picture of the church in submission of Christ, if she has no heart for that, she has no adorning, no covering for her head. But what is her covering? It's that meek, not the outward, that meek and quiet spirit. There's nothing that is more adorning to a wife. There's nothing that's more adorning to a husband that loves his wife and cares for her and watches over her, protects her, speaks respectfully to her, because he's a picture of Christ and does it because of Christ, who has finished the work, given him life. And there's nothing that is more adorning and more beautiful in the sight of God, that's what we say, than that adorning of a meek and quiet spirit. Somebody say, "Well, I think it ought to be this, it ought to be that." God said, "This is what it is." God Almighty said, "This is that spirit." That submissive and loving spirit is the token of her love for her husband before God and love for him. And as the Lord has made a believing woman to be submissive in her heart to her head, and he's made a believing man to be submissive to his head and listen to his head, as Christ loved the church, husbands, you love your wife. Each keep their own position right there for the glory of God. And then verse 14 says, I'll wrap this up. Verse 14 says, "Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering." Now it doesn't even nature. Now here again, let's get out of the context. Let's don't start getting into, you know, is long hair 3 inches or 6 inches? How long is long? My dad used to ask me this, just to show me how stupid sometimes my questions were. He'd say, "How long is a string?" "Well, I don't know. How long is long? But what is he talking about? He's talking about maintaining the position that you were given. Let a man and a woman maintain their position. Doesn't even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair..." Now, the wonder of this is that long hair is spoken of in 14 and 15. If a woman have long hair. So I looked it up just to find out, what does that mean? Actually, it doesn't have anything to do with the length of the hair. It has everything to do with the way that the hair is presented concerning a woman, and the way that it means long. The word long right there actually means tresses. Tresses of hair. It has to do with the curls or the locks of a hair as a woman wears her hair. God has given a woman her hair. The scripture sets forth as her covering. This is a beautiful picture of that quiet and meek spirit. And it's a glory to her. That's what verse 3. If a woman have tresses of hair, beautiful hair as a woman is given, it's a glory to her. But don't let a man try to wear his hair. It has nothing to do with the length. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I, believe this or not, when I was in school, I used to have hair, and it was longer. It was longer. And it was nothing that I had that was respectful. Believe me, it was not. And I don't really like to see, you know, someone that's unruly and unkept and stuff like this. I don't like that. I think, you know, get a haircut. Just get a haircut. Make it neat and make it look. But be as a man. I'm not trying to look like a woman. I don't want to wear my hair in tresses, like, or in the style or in the custom of a woman. Customs come, customs go. I understand that. What Paul is setting here, he said, nature teaches that a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. That is for a man to try to act in the position of a woman. That's what he's talking about. The man was created to be a picture of Christ. The woman, a picture of the bride. Don't let a man try to change that position. It's a shame. It does not glorify God. Let a man and a woman be a man and a woman. Man and woman. That's how God created it. Don't try to cross sides. Let the sexes be as they are, as God created him. It's suitable. Even in the Song of Solomon, God spoke of the hair of the bride as being her glory. What is it about the hair of a woman? And remember, a woman is being a picture of the bride. What is it about her hair that is spoken of as being glorious? Well, it comes out of the head. It's attached to the head. A picture of the bride attached to Christ. All of its nourishment comes out of the head. All of its beauty comes out of the head. So if nature teaches that a man to have or to act like or to try to take the position as a woman, it's a shame to him. That's not the position that God placed him in. But if a woman have the hair of a woman. Long hair. It's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But then Paul sums this up, verse 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, well, I think a woman ought to wear a doily. Well, I'm going to tell you this. If she thinks that that doily is going to make her closer to God, it's not. That's not the way God set it forth. I think a man ought to do this. I think if any be contentious, if they seem to be contentious, here's what the Apostle Paul says. We have no such custom. We have no such custom. And these are matters that don't need to be debated or argued over. If a woman, I'm going to tell you right now, as I told you a while ago, if a woman desires to wear a head, a dress, a covering, a doily, a day cap, as long as you realize if it's an adorning of just part of her clothing or something, that's fine. It's okay. We're not going to make an issue over that. We don't argue over this. We're not going. Paul says, if any man seems to be contentious, we don't have any custom concerning this. We don't. If someone would like to wear one, or if you'd like to, as I said a while ago, if you want to put a beret in your hair, that's okay. The true ornament is the meek and quiet spirit. The reason the man doesn't wear the hat is because it honors the Lord who finished the work. The reason a woman wears an ornament, the meek and quiet spirit, is it sets forth her being in submission to her husband. I pray the Lord might be pleased to bless these things and to answer the questions that we might have concerning, is it right or is it wrong? The Scriptures have set forth the truth of it. For Christ's sake and for our good. Amen. All right.